Chuck Fowler, candidate for District 3. So I just would like to begin, before we sort of get into the real questions, if you could just kind of introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about your background.
Sure. I'm a Colorado native. Grew up in Littleton, Colorado, and went to school at Boulder. Graduated from Boulder. Went to work out of college in the oil and gas industry up in Weld County before things got crazy up there, and as they are now. And in 1985, after the oil and gas industry pretty much cratered, my wife and I moved to Colorado Springs, and I went to work for Gates Land Company, selling lots to home builders, doing some other things related to that. And worked there for 5 years and struck out on my own, and I've been an entrepreneur ever since.
Briefly, why are you running for city council?
The opportunity presented itself with Keith King's, I guess you would call it, retirement. He could run for another term on council, but chose not to. I think he wants to focus on other things after giving a lot of his time over the years to the legislature and locally on city council. So it was an open seat. To be honest with you, I really wasn't thinking about doing this. I think one of the... So a couple issues really got my attention that I thought I could maybe bring a positive difference to the discussion and the policy making. This community historically has had a very difficult time taking care of its infrastructure. I've been in the homeowners association business for a long time, so I know the importance of taking care of your neighborhood. That's what homeowners associations do. So I'm intimately familiar with how you do that. HOAs do it a little differently than cities because we can't borrow money, we can't sell bonds. So we have to save money, we have to have reserves to be able to repair roofs and things like that. The city doesn't do that. Its budget is stretched every year because our tax base here is low. Taxpayers will pay for projects if they know what they are and they feel like they're important, such as the 2C legislation issue that was passed over a year ago to fix potholes. We have some significant issues primarily with stormwater. It's not an issue that touches people like potholes do. Almost everybody drives or rides in a car, so you get jolted when you hit a pothole, and nobody likes that. So that's an easier sell to fund. But stormwater is critically important in how we manage that because of our responsibilities downstream to Pueblo and the lower Arkansas Valley. And we have problems with that. And so being a business person and solving problems, especially in the business that I'm in, I thought I could bring a positive attitude to the conversation and help develop policy to address that problem as well as others. But that to me is probably the biggest issue facing the city right now.
And you mentioned infrastructure. Obviously, one of the big challenges here is, like you said, our tax base and some of the limitations that exist around our ability to raise taxes. What do you see as being one of the solutions or an important first step toward being able to deal with some of those infrastructure challenges that you mentioned?
Well, Mayor Southers has taken the lead in negotiating a deal with Pueblo County to guarantee them that we will spend money every year, $19 million, $17 million. We're committed to that every year. And he is, at times are pretty good in Colorado Springs right now. Sales taxes are up. So there's a little more cash to pay for these things. But as we all know, the economy will not stay good forever. And so it's important that when times are good like this, we try and get ahead of the curve a little bit. There's an issue on the ballot this April that will, it's a Tabor override, which will allow the city, if the voters approve it, to keep $6 million of the $9 million excess revenue that was collected over the Tabor limit. And I know this is a complicated issue, and it, people's eyes cross when you when you talk about Tabor. But we have a potential $6 million, maybe a little more than that, to invest in stormwater, and $3 million would be refunded back to the taxpayers through a credit on their utility bill. So what that does, Jake, it's really important, is that it will not only allow us to do important projects with that money, but it takes some pressure off the general fund budget, which is where money comes from to fund all city operations, not enterprises, but operations, including police and fire. Mayor Suthers had to get creative with, funding, and had to change things up with the police department a little bit, and that's not good. We need a fully funded police department. We need a fully funded fire department, and so we have these pressures we have to deal with. So eventually, we can't rely on Tabor overrides because we don't know what the economy is going to do and if there's going to be excess sales tax collected every year. So at some point, we're going to have to do something like a 2C type initiative. But, in this town, the taxpayers, if they understand what the money is going for, if they see what it is, if those projects are identified and there's a cost associated with them, historically, this town steps up and pays for those things. So it's a matter of salesmanship. It's a matter of having a plan. It's a matter of figuring out how to make it personal to each taxpayer in a way that potholes are, which is hard. It's a hard sell. And being a business person, I'm a salesperson, so because I have to sell what I do for a living, and that's what we need.
And so you see the role of a city council member as being a salesman. You can't necessarily raise taxes by fiat on city council. So what is the city councilman's role in that mix?
Well, specifically, city council has to put on the ballot, number one, Tabor initiatives. It can't come from anywhere else. It has to come from city council. Beyond that, as far as a 2C type funding, I think that council's role is to understand the issue, to gather information, and to package what the need is in a way that's understandable to the citizens of Colorado Springs. It can't actively campaign for anything as a body. Council members cannot go out and campaign for it, but there's outside organizations that can. And so it's a matter of putting together a good package, as we have done in the past, making sure that that package is comprehensive, that it's equitable, fair to everybody, and that people understand how it affects them. And what we're talking about here is being able to use our $1 billion pipeline that we just constructed from Pueblo, and to have that water available to us for growth and sales, and it's all interconnected.
So you're running to represent District 3, which encompasses downtown, the west side, sort of the Broadmoor area, Cheyenne Canyon. I wonder if you could characterize your district, and what are some of the core constituencies that exist in that district?
Yeah, well, it's a really diverse district, isn't it, as you just pointed out. And the issues that we're dealing with in District 3, many of them are specific to District 3, for for instance, homelessness is essentially centered downtown, which is in the district. So that's something I'm learning a lot about. That's a big problem. Panhandling, which I separate from homelessness. Panhandlers are not necessarily homeless. It's turned into a job for many. But it's unsafe for those folks to be out on the road. And we're trying to figure out, I think council's been trying to figure out how to regulate that in a way where all interests are served in a fair and equitable way. A lot of people don't want to go downtown because they're fearful. So that's an issue. On the west side, you know, we're taking care of no man's land with the county and the state. That's an important thing. Of course, we've got drainage issues up Highway 24. Highway 24 at some point will probably be expanded. There's a role for a voice in the city. I don't know if that'll happen during a four-year term or not, but that's an issue. Fire potential in Cheyenne Canyon, where I live, is a frightening thing, and mitigating North Cheyenne Canyon Park is important, and you know, those are that's essentially, you know, two of the three largest employers are in District 3 in Colorado Springs, and you know, we need to make sure that the business environment for those businesses, as well as all businesses taking in downtown, is not restricted by too much government regulation, local regulation, which typically has to do with land use issues, expanding a building, knocking down a building, those sorts of things. So that's essentially it.
And that kind of gets to an issue that I'm sure will come up through the course of this race. Your opponent, Richard Scorman, was very active in the campaign against the Broadmoor land exchange involving strawberry fields over there in North Cheyenne Canyon. And that's a deal that you, at public meetings, spoke in favor of. And I wonder if that issue to you and your differing stances on that reflects a difference in philosophy about what the role of local government is and sort of what kinds of partnerships are possible.
Yeah, I think it may be hard to extrapolate that from that particular issue. I think that issue is specific to that issue. I know Richard is trying to take some of the components of that issue and memorialize them, if you will, with a charter amendment that, you know, requires a vote of the people to sell public lands. That's got some difficult aspects to it as far as the city being able to do business that doesn't have anything to do with parks. The city is buying and selling and trading and dealing with easements, and it has a real estate office. It's a full-time job to do that. The last thing I would want to do is to make that job more complicated for our city staff. So, you know, Strawberry Field, interesting issue. I think it was a great deal for the city. I think many people think it was, people who are paying attention to it. You know, this is a piece of property people didn't even know existed. I mean, I live a quarter of a mile from it. I thought it was private property. I think it was a good deal. I still think it was a good deal. And I think we need to be able to do similar deals like that because the city doesn't have the funds to, out of its general fund, to maintain and expand its parklands and maintain open space.
So to take a step back and sort of look at the city as a whole, Mayor Suthers has repeatedly invoked this fact that Colorado Springs is the 40th biggest city in the country, and we need to start acting like it, his words. And I wonder what you make of that, what that means to you, and sort of in a bigger sense, what's your 10, 15, 20-year vision for this city?
I don't know what the mayor means by that, to be honest with you. He has a vision in his mind, I guess, of something, and I haven't talked with him about that to know specifically what he's talking about. Look, I've lived here for 32 years. Change comes here very slowly. A part of that is just because of how the town, how the culture of this community came together, and with the component parts that we have, in no small way, it's shaped by the military. A huge way it's shaped by the military, not only active military, but we have a significant retired military population that lives here. That colors the culture in a certain way, including government and the things that are supported and not supported. So I think that, the biggest blessing of Colorado Springs is looking west at those mountains. And those don't really change, thankfully. And I kind of draw my inspiration from that, that things don't happen quickly. I've never really understood why people are so unhappy with where Colorado Springs is. I'm not a part of that group. Do I think that our city government and our county government can improve? Absolutely. I think I can improve every day in my business. I think I can improve every day in my relationships. Absolutely. Improvement is what we do here. But change is slow. And I'm fine with that. One thing that's changed the rate of change a little bit is the marijuana situation, and that has brought a certain amount of change dramatically. And I'm not sure the initial impacts of that are all positive. A portion of the homeless population is here because of our legalized marijuana. I'm not convinced that that's the net effect of that is a positive one. We're kind of a test tube for it. It's bringing some money into the treasury, but is it paying for the impacts that it's causing? I don't know. And I don't think we'll know that for a while until we have more data over a longer period of time. But that's one thing, Jake, that has, I think, really changed the complexion of Colorado Springs in a dramatic way. Other than that, we're just kind of slogging along, and our sales tax base grows slowly. So we just kind of do the things that we do slowly. Oftentimes we wait until there's a crisis. I guess if I have a vision, I would like, from a government point of view, for us to not take that approach. But it's very human to take that approach. We wait until we have a crisis until we act. I mean, many of us do that in our personal lives. So my vision is that we don't do that, that we plan for the future. We have a good plan. We make adjustments where we need to make adjustments because reality changes. And we march forward into the future. And I think there's a certain amount of charm not knowing exactly what that is and what that means, and waking up every day and seeing what's being presented to you and solving those problems.
To put a little bit more sort of specifics to it, we look at Tabor and we see historically what's called the ratchet down effect, and the implications of that for our ability to make investments and do the kinds of things that city governments do. What kinds of things do you think City Council and Colorado Springs government can be doing right now to prepare for some of those potential future economic downturns or other sorts of potentialities that you've said we really need to be kind of preparing for?
Well, we're limited by Tabor for sure. But when we have excesses, we can vote to keep that money, which in some way neutralizes the ratchet effect. And that's the way that that law was written, and that was what was intended by Doug Bruce, that ultimately the people paying the taxes have the final say in how that money is spent. That said, I'm not a big fan of direct democracy at all. You know, we're a constitutional republic, and we elect leaders to make these decisions for us. But, you know, there's a trust factor there that, at least in Colorado, because Tabor, of course, applies to all of Colorado, not just Colorado Springs, even though we have a different version of it. You know, it's something that we have to deal with, and that's just our reality. We can go to the taxpayers for initiatives like 2C and like Trails and Open Space, like the safety sales tax. So the point I made earlier, where when the need is critical and a plan can be put together that's clear and straightforward, not confusing, and it can be sold in a way where it touches the citizen, where they can say, yeah, I get that. I get why we need to do that. We're successful at selling those things. I don't see that changing. So we need people on city council who understand that setup, and I think we do. Not all of them, but, you know, you need 5 votes to get anything done. And I think that there are 5 people. I would like to be one of those who understands that setup and can figure out how to benefit from it rather than have it be an excuse or a problem.
And is there any final point you'd like to make to sort of pitch yourself to the voters of District 3 in Colorado Springs?
Well, I think, Jake, you know, my enthusiasm for this is growing. Like I said earlier, it wasn't something that I sought out. It kind of found me. And as I get into it, I was engaged in the community a number of years ago with an organization called the City Committee, and we were in the thick of it. And we were making a positive difference at a time when we needed that kind of leadership, because we changed to a strong mayor form of government. And that was confusing to a lot of people, especially the government. I mean, it was confusing to the citizens, but it was really confusing to city council and the mayor. So I think we're far enough past that, that people know what their roles are. And people are content with those. We have to figure out what we're going to do with the utility board and whether or not it's a good way to continue with city council sitting as the utility board. But my enthusiasm for this community and how beautiful it is and the opportunities that exist here just grows stronger every day. And to be able to be a policymaker during these times, it is a great opportunity for me personally, and I would hope it would be a great opportunity for the citizens to have me in there swinging for the fences on their behalf, because that's what I would intend to do.
Chuck Fowler, candidate for District 3, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Jake.